It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 42 is where we're going to begin reading today. So please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 42. We continue to grow and learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious Word. So as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois. And the zip code would be 62341. That was enough time for you, and I hope it was, that we can begin to read now. I love to get right into the study. Genesis chapter 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. The sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. He said unto them, Nay, but I see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies, whereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do, and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are very verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Now we're going to end with the 23rd verse there, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the day that you have given us, this wonderful opportunity to open your word and to enjoy it. Please that you'll show us your way and will for each one of our lives. Speak to us, Father, through your word. It is your living word. Every word that is in this book, it is wonderful because it is not just words of men. It is your words, and it's living words, and it's every word. It's not just the parts that we decide we want to use and keep. Every word is inspired by you, and please, dear Father, that we may understand it. And in order for us to understand it, the Spirit of God within us has got to guide us and lead us. The only way we can have your Spirit inside our hearts to guide and to lead us is to be a child of God, to be a Christian. Now, that means to be, Father, a true Christian. We know that. Please, that we don't have this fake, we're trusting in works, we're trusting in something else besides just your precious blood, Lord Jesus. We must come to you by faith. We must trust in you being our Savior, and we must turn to you and walk with you. Our walk and our talk, our testimony should be wonderful as we begin this turning, this changing from our life to yours, dear Father. Please, you will guide and lead us today as we enjoy this study. Teach us your way and will, and show us the way of salvation. Show us the way of service unto you. Please, dear God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful time we have when we come together to study God's precious word. We have been through this opportunity of seeing how God has so planned and brought Joseph into a place of position. In the sixth verse there, it says Joseph was the governor over the land, governor over Egypt. The only one that was higher than him was Pharaoh, and Joseph had a total free reign of everything. Just like he did when he was over the military leader, and much the same way he had when he was in prison. Even though he was a prisoner, he still had the freedom to do what needed to be done and do it properly. He would it didn't seem as though he was even a prisoner, even though he was in prison. And so we've watched how the Lord has brought him out, has answered Pharaoh's dream. It was such a dream that there was going to be 7 years of feast of plenty, with all the everything, the crops, everything was going to just flourish in that first 7 years. Well, as good as it was the first seven, it was going to be that bad in the second seven. And so Pharaoh trusted the words of God, trusted the words that Joseph spoke, because he acknowledged that they were from God. It was put into place. Pharaoh looked to Joseph and decided that Joseph was the man to be put in that position to rule and to reign. And so it begins right there, and everything, the first 7 years, he put 20% into each city. He stored in every city, wherever it was local, he would store that grain in that city. And he did 20% of the full crop, which was a bumper crop, for 7 years. And he put 20% of that crop into those storehouses in each city, and it lasted, and it got to where it was so much that he couldn't even account for all of it. There was so much in the land. Well, famine has come. Right before the famine came, we find that Joseph received and enjoyed the addition to his family of two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And so we have those in verse 51 and 52. So now Pharaoh gave him a wife, and by that wife they had two children, and one was Manasseh and one was Ephraim. Then after that we find the plague comes. And upon the arrival of the plague, upon it coming, why, now we enter into the 7 years of bad, the 7 years of difficult, the 7 years that's almost impossible to take care of. And so as we look at this time now, and we are standing before everything that is that Joseph said was going to happen has happened. And this 7 years, and they begin, they have used up all the extra that the people in Egypt had, the folks in the surrounding area and almost the known world at that time, it was all facing a famine too. And so it came all the way to the place, and it tells us all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Look at how Pharaoh is looking unto Joseph, because now everything Joseph said through the power and strength of God we find to be coming true. All this is coming true. And the Egyptians are coming to Pharaoh to buy their grain and food and feed so that they can care for themselves. Also now, we have not only that, but we also have the other lands, all countries, not only just Egypt, but all the countries around heard that there was corn, there was feed, there was produce there that they could have in Egypt to come and buy. And so they come to buy it. They came to Joseph. Now we find verse 42, chapter 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do ye look one upon another?" In other words, they didn't know what to do. They were totally, they had money, but what's money if there's no food? If there's nothing to eat, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to care for anything? How are we supposed to do this if there is no food at all? You know, you could have $10 million, and if there is no place to buy a loaf of bread, or if there's no place to buy a drink of water, what's that $10 million worth? We need to be in mind that money, we just keep thinking the more money we have, well, we need to see that with that we are able to possess, to have food and water and the necessities of our life, because to fill that bank with money and literally starve yourself to death or not live at all because you're so hung up on that dollar, you need to take a look at what's important. Well, if you're doing that, why, you better look at your heart to see that you know Jesus Christ first, because if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've never come by faith, if the Holy Spirit has never convicted your heart. Now, all these things, you say, "I don't understand, Larry, what you're saying." Well, listen, just listen carefully, because if you're listening to this word right now, the Holy Spirit, through His word, can convict your heart and will convict your heart. And upon you being drawn to the Lord Jesus, what happens, first of all, the Spirit of God shows you your wickedness, shows you how ugly and how sinful you are, and shows you that you need to come by faith to Him. He'll do all that. And please, that you just call upon Him and say, "Please come into my heart and save me." And once you become a child of God, then your life should begin to change. It should begin to leave the world and be of God, serving God. It should change when you become a child of God. So please, that you look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that you seek His will, you seek His way, and begin that service. Well, what happens each time that we come together and we look at this word and we see, as God has planned everything and has set everything into place here, why, now we find that now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look one to another?" Again, did they have enough money? I believe they did. I think God really blessed Jacob, and I think there was plenty of money, but all of a sudden now there was no pastures, there was no corn, there was nothing to feed the cattle, there was nothing. So how can we survive? Didn't matter how much money they had. And so we need to sit down and look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and for our leadership and service. Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt. Now, isn't that something how that word came to him? Well, there was many around him that was traveling to Egypt. All the countries, it tells us in verse 57, came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. And that's in the 41st chapter, verse 57. So we know that a lot of people were doing it. A lot of people was talking about it. And so now Jacob finally tunes in, and he wonders with his sons. They're getting older now. Why don't you take some leadership here? Why do you just look at each other and wonder, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, a lot of people do that instead of taking a hold of it and getting to work. Well, that's what they needed to do. Someone of those children, of those kids, they needed to see. And they weren't children anymore. They were children of Jacob, but they weren't little as we think of children. So these young men, they should have decided that, you know, Father, should we, you know, in respect to their father, should we go into Egypt and see if we can buy corn there so that we may live? Instead of that, why, Jacob looked at his sons and says, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Haven't you heard the same thing? I'm sure was his question. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. So we see how drastic, how complete the famine was. It was a matter that it's life or death. And so get down there and see what you can find. Get down there and see what you can buy for us that we will live. And Joseph's ten brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. That's the third verse. Now, if you remember right, there started out to be 12 sons. There were 12 of them. Now, he said the 10 sons went down. Well, the fourth verse tells us what happened to the 11th one. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And so when Benjamin, when it came down to leaving, why was Jacob so concerned, Israel here, so concerned about Benjamin not going? Why was he willing to give up the other 10 sons, but not Benjamin? Well, if you remember right, Benjamin and Joseph are brothers. The rest of them are through other mothers. Jacob is the father, but there were a total of 4. We have Jacob and we have Rachel and Leah, Jacob's wives, and then we have the 2 handmaidens. That's where these 12 sons come in, and if you remember, there is a sister to these boys that was spoken of in the Word, and we don't have any idea how many others may have been born beyond that, but these 12 here are the one set. We don't know how many girls there were, but the Scripture is clearly here that there were 12 sons, of which the 10 that is sent down to Egypt, and then Benjamin, the very youngest, Joseph being next in line to that. Joseph and Benjamin were the 2 youngest. Do you remember what happened way back when Jacob sent Joseph down to check on his brother, his brothers that were tending to the flocks? Do you remember that? Because that's where this all started. Because they decided they had that young man, Joseph, away from their father far enough. Now's time to do the dirty work. We have thought about this a long time. And so they had beat him up. They had torn his coat off, a coat of many colors, which was given to him. And it was a beautiful coat. They were jealous of this man, Joseph, and jealous for a lot of reasons. And as we come on down here, we find that they find that he is the governor, and when they enter in, they bow down unto Joseph. Now, we're going to look just a minute here at a couple of verses of Scripture, because remember, they criticized and they laughed at Joseph. And even Jacob was kind of angry at Joseph when he spoke such words. Now, if we could go back first of all, a little further than that part when Jacob was a little angry, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 27, verse 28. And it tells us here, and if I glance at that, that doesn't look like the right verse. Every once in a while I do that. It's verse 29. I knew I was close there. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now that was a blessing that was given unto Jacob way before the time of the birth of Joseph or any of the other sons. But isn't that something, how when we read that, it sounds almost like we're talking about Joseph. And I believe that that was the statement ahead of time. And so when we look to see when God speaks, it can be many years ahead of time. It is still truth. God knows. Please listen and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and know that He is the Lord over all. He's the Savior, Creator. Please don't miss Jesus Christ. You'll spend eternity in hell if you do, if you forget and miss Him. Plus, you'll miss all the blessings here. Now, the one that you're probably thinking about and remembering is Genesis chapter 37. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Look at that. Now, as we go back now and look at what's happening right here in this section of Scripture, we need to see that this is coming to pass. You know, as these prophecies are put into place, now it's coming to pass. God's word is always true, and there is nothing in this book that will not come to pass. You need to remember that. You need to know that. It will always come to pass. Whatever God says will come to pass. If you don't believe that there's a hell, there's a hell. If you don't believe that there's a heaven, there's a heaven. If you don't believe that you need a Savior, and that's Jesus Christ, there is a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and you must come by faith to Him and trust in His precious blood. If you do anything else, any other way other than coming by faith, then you'll be damned, you'll be condemned to hell, to spend eternity in the place of torment first, and then when judgment comes, and there is a time, appointed time for judgment, when that will come, you'll be taken from the place of torment and placed into the lake of fire, where the fire burns forever. I can't imagine what the fierceness of that fire, yet it tells us it's total darkness. And the pain and the suffering, you have seen folks that have died that have suffered so much. If they did not know Jesus Christ, that's not a touch. That's not just a touch of what it's going to be for eternity in hell. Oh, my friend, come to Jesus Christ today confessing your sin. Know that you know Him in your heart and begin to search His Word and study His Word. Stop trying to work your way there. Can't do it. You just can't do it. This here, as we come together and we look at this and we find God's plan and the prophecies and His word once again has been made true. And we find the boys coming down. We have Joseph and Benjamin, the two youngest of this family. Joseph is already in Egypt. They kind of lost track of him, but he's already in Egypt. And then we have Benjamin, and Jacob says, Israel says, he's not going anywhere. I'm not losing another one. And you see the two boys from Rachel, his first love, his only love. And his first two children were the two youngest, were Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph, in Jacob's eyes, in Israel's eyes, he was dead. He was gone. They had no idea where he was and really knew him to be dead. And now it's Benjamin. Benjamin's not leaving me. He's staying right here. So they sent him out, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Many were traveling that direction for the same purpose. They just joined the caravan. Here they come. And Joseph was governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came, bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. We will not bow down to you, his brethren said. Remember that? That's the reason I wanted to read back in Genesis 27:29 and Genesis 37, the 5th through the 11th verse. I wanted you to see what was prophesied. And they said, we will not. Well, if you say today that you will not bow down to Jesus Christ, there will be a day that you will bow down to Jesus Christ. And so you mark my word, because this word that I am speaking is God's word, and he is so clear that there will be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Now, the problem's going to be is that by that time, it's going to be too late for you if you do not come by faith to Jesus Christ today. It will be too late. You will do it. There will be a time. These brethren says, I will not. And it just made them angry. Well, they did. Look how God works. They did. They come down. And what did it say here? I'm going to read it again. And Joseph was governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Now, as we look at those verses of Scripture just a little bit as we come to the end of the study today, oh, it just moves so quickly, doesn't it, as we come together to enjoy this time. But look at what happened. Joseph's brethren were starving to death, ordered by their father to come down, and here they come, not looking, not thinking, and one, the slightest thought that Joseph would be there, period, because they figured him to be some slave and probably even dead. I mean, they didn't think that he was probably even still alive, but if he was, why, he was a servant of somebody. And see, they didn't know, because the caravan brought him down, sold him to the leader, to the military leader. They didn't. So they didn't have any idea other than he was heading for Egypt. They'd long forgot about their brother. They'd put him out of their mind. They weren't worried about him at all. Finally, they got rid of that brother that was favored. They just got rid of him. Well, when they came in, Joseph recognized them immediately, but they did not recognize him. You know, I don't think he was looking for them, but with everything that's going on and the wisdom of God, once again, Joseph is a man of God. These other 10 brethren aren't. God's going to use them to make the nation of Israel. But Joseph is the man of God. He is the one that seeks the Lord's will. He's the one that God has shown these dreams to time after time. Joseph is the man that God has given wisdom to. And so even though these boys would have changed, Joseph knew them. He knew them immediately. But he made himself not known to them. And then they come down. Whence come ye? Why have you come? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And again, Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Oh, the time's going to begin here, isn't it? And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said to them, are ye spies? to see the nakedness of the land that ye are come? And they said to him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. So there's a purpose for them coming. They were coming to buy food. Joseph is going to kind of take a good look. He's going to make them think of what they're doing. And again, all this is done by the leadership of God. God is leading Joseph here. The wisdom is here, and he is testing these boys. Well, we're going to find out that Joseph wants something. He doesn't want their money, but he wants to know that their father is okay, his father, and his brother Benjamin is okay. And so we'll begin there when we start this next time. Please don't miss the study. It's wonderful as we study God's Word. But the most important is that you do not miss Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please, you've heard the gospel today. You've heard God's Word today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?